Can you hear the? Right? There. Feel that?
That felt it. Out.
Jump off. All right. Welcome back to another episode of On the Throne with Dick. And shout out to, you know, Senjin Boychuk there for an incredible intro, outro music. Find that guy everywhere on the socials. You know, I love that guy. He's amazing. He's been a good friend, you know, and I just can't recommend everyone go and follow that guy everywhere that you can. YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, everywhere. It's incredible. And on today's episode, we have special guest Kevin McNee, you know, Heart Warrior, and fresh off his trip from the Monetize Your Mind seminar this past weekend. You know, how's it going, man?
It's going good, brother. Yeah, I shout out to, you know, that intro music, man. I really have an appreciation for music. I started playing guitar when I was 32 years old, and I still know how difficult it is and have such an admiration for musicians. So that's pretty amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, man. When I was first, you know, made aware of him by episode, I think 9's guest, Angela, right? And, you know, who was referred to me by episode 14's guest after he got back from his trip. He's like, man, I can't do it this week, but I know someone that can. And he referred me to Angela, who referred me to episode 10, who referred me to Senjin Boychuk, right? It's just amazing, you know, and how it's all come together. You know, a lot of other guests have, you know, referred other people, like, hey, you need to talk to this person. You need to get their story. You need to talk to them. And then there's other people that have randomly just popped up. And when, like, hey, man, they've come to me, they've asked, like, hey, man, I love your podcast. Can I come on? I think I have a cool story. Like, hell yeah, let's go. And then there's ones where I randomly drop into, you know, on the social somewhere, like Daniel Harper. His podcast comes out today. Actually, I think it's dropping right about now. And I found his music randomly, just, you know, looking for music for a video, and it popped up. And then he messaged me. He's like, hey, how'd you find my music, man? Like, you know, where did you hear that from? I'm like, I found it online randomly, man. And we started following each other. We became, you know, acquainted with each other. And I'd like to call him a friend now. And, man, amazing podcast. Just random people that just fall in your lap that are blue collar. And it's insane. And, you know, and I actually heard your story off of Gordon's podcast, the Second Act podcast. And I, you know, I've gotten some off of him, and he's gotten some off of me. And we just, you know, it's just a whole wide world here we've opened ourselves up to, right? So it's kind of fun, kind of interesting, man.
Yeah, brother. It's, you know, what I hear with that is, you know, you leading the way and just creating a space. It's like a magnet, you know, it's a magnet for community. It's a magnet for the people. And you just, like, asking the universe for what you want, and there it is. It just shows up, and some people will call it coincidence or randomly, or, you know, some people will call it synchronicity and just, you know, manifestation for asking exactly what you want, and fuck, there you go, it shows up in your lap. It's amazing.
Amen to that, man. You know, I like to call myself an opportunist, right? Like, mm-hmm. It bodes well in the whole creating content thing, you know, where I make videos, and half the time at the beginning, I would have a bunch of my drafts, so they'd be well thought out. But now I can't keep them in my drafts, right? And half the time, I don't even know I'm making a video until I'm making it, right? And it's like, whoa, there's a cheap boom, there's a side boom or a genie right here, right? And right in front of me. I have a sound that would go well with that. It's the proper time to post. Well, damn, I should post right now. And I go over and I make the video. Oh, I only have 4 minutes to mess around with this. Okay, let's get it down in 4 minutes. Let's take that opportunity. Let's take advantage of our situation, right? And, mm-hmm. and same with the podcast. You know, I record when I get the chance to. I try to stay a couple weeks ahead. There are times where I fail miserably at that, and I stay like 4 days ahead. Oh, a podcast comes out in 4 days, and I don't have anything recorded yet, right? And then all of a sudden, oh, I have a spare 2.5 hours here. Let's see, is anyone available? Just start messaging people. Hey, man, you free to come on tonight? you know, like kind of what I did with you today. I have a day off today in the hotel. It's raining. It's not raining now, but we were originally supposed to do this tomorrow, I believe. Right.
Yeah.
But I have a spare couple hours or a whole day in this case. And I was like, I wonder what you're doing during the day today. So I sent you the message. You're like, hey, I'm free. Let's go. So
yeah, here we are. I think it was actually supposed to be like a few months ago.
we've had this planned a couple of times now, but you know, with that, take advantage of your opportunities also comes, okay, well, let's plan this out. And you know, that time comes and I'm on call 24/7, right? And you know, work when work calls, that's my first priority. This is fun, this is my hobby, and I hope to take it to new heights along the way.
Totally.
But until that time, when the thing that helps me feed my family calls, I gotta take it, right? That comes first. So
absolutely. No, and then, you know, I do believe in divine timing and everything's meant to happen when it's meant to be. And here we are.
Yeah, man. I say that all the time here too, right? Like when things don't work out, like if we plan a podcast, like you'll see coming up in a couple weeks, I recorded a podcast with Murphy. Murphy was in Vegas. We were going to record the podcast while he was in Vegas on the strip, right? And it was going to be a good time. We were going to record. That night, his plans went awry. Something happened. You know, his Vegas trip turned very much into what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And we couldn't record that night. Well, fast forward a couple, a month after his trip, and we find out why we couldn't record that night, right? If you're listening to this podcast, that one's already out. You'll have already heard why that podcast couldn't happen when it happened. But that's the whole thing, right? Like podcasting is very cat and mouse, right? There's a lot of chasing. And if it doesn't happen that day, it's for a reason. A part of the story hasn't been told yet. And I don't get upset about it. It's like, okay, we'll find out what unfolds in the coming months or weeks before we get this done. You know, and when it gets done, we'll talk about it, right? And here we are, man. Here we are. I feel like from the time that we were originally started talking, your journey has changed a lot. I watched your stuff. Your journey's changed a lot. My journey's changed a lot. You know, so that's what we're here today to do. We're here to talk about the journey and sharing experiences. So I'm excited.
Absolutely, man. And it's you know, this, we're now just the beginning of the 6 month of the year, and what a year. Like, it's been such a journey. I feel like I've died multiple deaths and been reborn multiple times this year already. So it's it's been an incredible ride, right? From, you know, making the decision to separate from, you know, the love of my life and go down a different path, and you know, our visions are different, and you know, she's a bit younger than I am, and wanting to, you know, to have her own children, and I have my own kids, and you know, wanting to co-create together, which we committed doing that as well. But over the last 4 years, things has changed, and this in February came to fruition, where, you know, we decided we were going to go in separate ways, but still doing it in a loving way, where, you know, we still spend a lot of time together, communicate, and so, you know, do it in a conscious, loving way, as opposed to, you know, how I left my marriage, which is still, you know, dealing that with the toxicity and the anger and the frustration, you know, that comes along with a lot of separation and divorces and things like that. So, you know, that was just kind of like the kickstart of it. But, you know, really going into looking in the mirror and looking at myself, going like, who in the fuck am I, and who do I want to be, and how do I want to show up? You know, for myself first, for my kids, for, you know, for everyone else in my life, for my clients in business, in life in general. So yeah, man, it's been a pretty wild ride, and yeah, I'm here for it.
That could kick your ass mentally too, right? But if you let it, right? But like, it sounds like you guys came to that conclusion together, right? We're like, hey, things aren't meshing. We're going in two separate ways. It's not a bad thing. It's just like, hey, you know what? Like, you know, the old saying, if you love something, set it free. If it comes back, you know, yada, yada. I don't know if you guys are there or if that'll ever happen, but you never know what life throws at you, right? But, you know, growing up as a kid, I noticed my parents didn't get along at all, right? They, from the time I was little, right until they split, and which I was little, but they split, and even I knew at 6 years old, like, hey, man, you guys are better off apart. You know what I mean? Totally. And my dad gave me that decision. He came in one night and sat me down, and he's like, hey, man, like, you know, man to man. And I was 6 years old. He's like, man to man. It's like, your parents aren't getting along. Your mom and your dad, we aren't seeing eye to eye. We're not getting along. We gotta go our separate ways. Right. And, you know, it's a little hard, but at 6 years old, my dad gave me that decision. And even then I was able to see the kind of life both parents were kind of leading, and they were leading separate lives. They were like, you know, And so I chose to live with my dad, which, you know, in the long run was probably the better choice. Right. But what did it cost? What did it cost in the long run too, as well? Right. My mom and I love my mom dearly. She'll probably see this. We know what's going on. Right. I love her to pieces, and I wish nothing but the best for her, as she does me. She messages me every morning on, like, text, and messages me on different platforms saying the same thing. Good morning, my handsome son. I love you. I miss you. And stay safe today. Right. Same thing every day. And I love that. We talk once in a while on the phone for a few minutes. My mom and I, you know, because that bond was broken so early, you know, we don't talk. We don't. It's been 3 years since I saw my mom last. 4 years. Mm-hmm. And we don't talk that often. And that hurts. That hurts me, knowing that, you know, like, hey, you know, like, there's a bond there. It's family and a connection that's missing. Right. And I don't talk to my dad. I haven't talked to my dad in a few years now. Like, it was the best choice to move in with him. But because I also got to see, you know, and watch him be a man, or his version of what a man should be. Right. And I grew up, and it was kind of like, well, man, maybe you shouldn't be that kind of a father. Don't be that kind of a husband. Don't be that kind of a man in general, right? Yeah. I needed that lesson, right? And for a while there, I was kind of going in that direction. And then my wife just smacked me upside the head and was like, hey, you have a choice here. It's either, you know, this, or, like, you change and you know, you could stay the same, be like him, or you choose this, but you got to change, right? And, you know, It took that kind of a wake up call and stepping back to be like, whoa, you know, my dad's not the kind of person anyone should be. So, you know, where I'm going with this is, you know, we're kind of breaking that cycle. You know, my wife and I, like, we want to be parents that our kids are excited to return home to when they leave the nest. They want to come over for dinner. They want to come visit. They want to pick up that phone almost every day and be like, hey, how are you doing? Right. And, you know, so I know what I'm missing out on, kind of, you know, like, I see people talking about going and hanging out with their parents and having dinner with their parents. And I'm like, yeah, man, I'm missing that, you know, and that hurts. And that played a really detrimental part in my mental health the last 4 years. Right. And, you know, it just, you know, I had to find myself a little bit more and be like, okay, this is how it is. Yeah. We don't talk, but, like, doesn't mean there's no love there. Like, I love my dad, but he's not someone I want to be, right? And so, yeah, man, that's huge.
It really is, you know, and it's something where, you know, we can all play the victim and be like, hey, you know what, my dad was this way, so this is why I am how I am, and I'm going to follow suit, because, you know, this is how I was raised, and I'm just going to continue to pass that down onto my kids, and then them onto their kids, or whatever. Or we can take responsibility for who we want to be and how we want to show up and go, you know what, that trend stops with me. Yep. This is how I want to show up. This is how I want to show up as a husband, as a father, as you know, a partner, whatever that looks like. And it doesn't have to be that way, but this is the thing, is we all get to choose, right? You made your choice with a little assistance from the cuff upside the head, right?
Yeah. But yeah, my wife is truly my better half, man. Everyone says it. I don't know how much they mean it, but, like, my wife's a strong woman. There are many times I look back and I'm like, why are you still here? Why did you stick around? You know, like, what did you see that you thought, hey, man, you know, this is worth sticking around for? And, man, like, her and my Nana had, like, kind of the same answer, you know, like, I see something in you worth sticking around for, and I can't wait till you see it too. Right. Yeah. And it's like, damn, man, like, the last few years, I've had to like transform a little bit, right? And I've watched myself transform from this guy who very much was kind of in the victim mentality role. Like you said, you know, like, you know, man, I act like this because my dad's like this, right? And, yeah. and you know, and his traumas brought him like this. And no, man, no, no. I act the way that I act now because my dad was acting that way and I wanted to be better than that.
Yeah.
Right. And that's just it, man. And, you know, I was in a deep, dark hole. I had to, I found myself, you know, not doing well. And I had to climb out of this hole because when I was down there, I found a mirror of, and I was staring into and I saw myself and I wasn't happy with the person looking back. Right. I was like, ooh, you know, like that's nasty. Right. And, I thought I was alone in that, you know, I thought I was alone. I couldn't talk to my wife. Turns out my wife could see it, right? She wanted me to reach out to her. She's like, hey, something's not right with you. I need you to like, you know, I'm giving you a hand, take it, you know? And so, you know, I eventually was like, okay, yeah, for sure. You know, there's still a lot of work to do. We're not all the way there. We're constantly evolving. And I like always, what you said. Yeah. I like what you said in that one video there. I liked it. It was, If you find that you're the smartest person in the room, find another room, right?
You're in the wrong room, man. You're in the wrong room. Yeah.
You're in the wrong room. That's huge.
Yeah. No. And you know what? I love that too. And I think for a lot of us men in general, turning that mirror back towards ourselves is a pretty fucking scary place to look, right? Thinking that there's something maybe wrong or that, you know, that we're not good enough or that we're, you know, not smart enough or you, like you spoke to it too, is like, why is she even with me? And you know, your wife reflects, your nana reflects because we see you, man. I got goosebumps. It's like, we see you. Now it's time for you to see you. And this is one of the things that, you know, in working with men and coaching with men and facilitating the groups, it's like you get to see men see themselves for the first time because they're at a point where it's like you said, you got into this deep dark hole and you felt you're alone. There's billions of men out there that think that they're alone, but there's a billion other men that are like, yeah, I'm here too. They just haven't been taught to speak up and say that, right?
Yeah.
And you know, when you see that happen, it's like their hearts all of a sudden open up and there's a different light coming out of them. And it's, there's truly nothing like it.
Yep. Yep. When I was down there, right, I realized there's a reason why I talk the way I talk, the reason why I joke around the way I joke around, and the reason for everything that I do, right? And when I came out and realized a lot of that, you know, And I didn't go to therapy or anything like this. It was just something that was really hard on me. And I needed to like, I couldn't be in my own head anymore. Right. There mm-hmm. are a moment where I was driving down the highway and I just started like, I started crying. Right. I'm like, oh, you know, like it's brutal. And, and I told my wife about it and she's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, nothing's wrong. Don't worry about it. Right. But you know, when I discovered all this stuff, I've noticed in the last 3 years, my youngest is 4, but in the last 3-ish years, you know, it's helped me become a better father. It's helped me become a better husband. And it's helped me become a better version of me. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's huge. And that's huge, man. It's really weird to talk about sometimes, but it shouldn't be, you know, like, yeah. You know, going through all that, right. I don't know what I would have done had, you know, I wanted better for myself, right? If I was just comfortable being like, I'm just in a miserable mood, leave me alone today, right? And just, you know, going on and on and on about that. And I was finding problems where there were no problems, right?
Right.
Like, I was like, in my relationship, I was picking things apart. I was listening to people I shouldn't have been listening to, which is quite often the people that are really close to you, you know, and you know, yeah. Yeah. And
most times. Yeah.
Yeah. Really interesting. The little birds in my ear were the people that I should have expected them to be like that, but wasn't. That, you know, my guard was down. Right. So, mm-hmm. you know, it was really interesting. And the funny thing is when I told my boss all this, we've talked about this a lot. We're quite close. When I told my boss all this, he's like, I know. He's like, we've had this chat before about how this is coming back to haunt you in 10 years time. This is coming back, man. It's not done. You may be done with it, but it's not done with you. Right. You guys have to mutually decide that, you know, like, hey, we're done. Right. And he said that to me like a few years ago, or not a few years ago, but he said that to me when I talked to him about it. I think it was only 2 years ago. I talked to him about it. Right. And we still talk about it now. And he can tell when I'm not at my best. Right. Like when I get real quiet and I just start working really hard. Right. Like he's just like, hey, bro, I appreciate the work ethic, but like what's going on, you know? What's wrong, totally. You know, and
that's a really good point, brother. One of the things that I've spoke to as well too. And I mean, I was a general manager in oil and gas. I worked on the drilling rigs first coming into oil and gas. I was a golf pro for 7 years before I got into oil and gas and worked my way up right up into being a general manager. But it's like, I believed in, you know, keeping your work life and your home life separate. And it was like, what was going on at home? You just shut that shit down and you showed up and you busted your ass. And if you had a problem or whatever, you just didn't talk about it. Right. Because you're at work.
Yeah.
But it's such a backward way of thinking because there's no such thing as home life and work life. It's just life. Right. You can't just drop your feelings, your emotions, your grief, your sadness, your anger, your rage, your joy. You can't just drop that to go on to something different. I mean, it comes with you. So, you know, like your boss, you know, having that compassion and, you know, being that space for you to see that and witness that, you know, it's pretty rare in businesses, you know, these days. It's starting to get better, but, you know, for him to be able to do that, what a special place to be.
My boss here, he was here a year or so before I was, right? And like we sort of came up together, right? We were boots on the ground together. We've become brothers over the years, right? Where I respect him as my boss, but when we're not working, even sometimes when we are working, we joke around like we're coworkers, right? Like, you know, so it's a very unique place. There's only there's maybe 15 people here and we're all a pretty tight-knit crew, right? And and I like to take some of the younger guys under my wing like he did with me. He's older than me and you know, like some other people did with me along the way. There's one guy I work with who he's having a bit of a hard time right now, and like I'm giving him, you know, advice and stuff like that. I'm like, bro, I know you don't want to hear it. I've been there. You don't want to hear it, but I'm gonna shove it down your throat anyways, right?
Good for like, you. Trust me. Yeah,
I told him this the other day. We had this conversation. I'm like, you're going to want to take care of that now, brother. And he's like, I don't know if I want the answer, though. I'm like, you're going to get the answer now? You're going to rip that Band-Aid off and get the answer now while you're still young enough to be able to, you know, take care of it properly? Or you're going to wait 10 years and there's going to be a lot more involved and there's going to be a lot of anger.
Yeah.
Right? You deal with that now while you can, right? And it's just – he's coming up – he's Gen Z. He's coming up with the mentality that, hey, I'm Gen Z, but I gotta be battle hardened and tough. Like my forefathers before me in the oil and gas and in the blue collar world. And I'm like, no, man, that was ass backwards, man. Like telling you right now, get on this track. We're all trying to get there. You like, you're our boss. He's a Gen Xer, right? And he struggles with it. We see it all the time, right? Mm-hmm. We'll have meetings about men's mental health or mental health in general, right? And you can tell that even when he's talking about it, it's uncomfortable for him.
Of course,
he's trying not to make it uncomfortable, but it is uncomfortable for him to talk about, right? And I said, man, you see how he talks about it and is uncomfortable? We're trying to end that stigma, and he's leading the charge by talking about it in the first place, right? Do you want to be standing up there yourself 10, 15 years from now, looking uncomfortable while talking about it? Or do you want to stand up tall, pump your chest out, and be like, guys, men's mental health, you know, if you have a problem, or mental health in general, if you got a problem, let's talk, right? Yeah. And man, the conversations I have with this kid, man, like I'm proud of where he's going. You know, he's got a lot of work to do, but like, I'm proud of, you know, how, you know, he's opened up. We sat in the truck this morning for a good 2 hours, just chatting, you know, it's a rain day. We're not working. He could have slept in his room. I was outside sitting in the truck, 'cause I didn't want to be in my room alone. Right. Yeah. It's like, truck alone, but like I came with a truck in the sunlight, you know what I mean?
Yeah, people cruising around and stuff like that, which is, you know, it's nice to kind of be in that energy, totally. And yeah, you know what? It's having that leadership and that mentorship role, that's where a lot of us, you know, I'll speak for myself, not for you, but you know, I didn't have anyone that mentored me to talk about what I was going through or be open to share like, hey, I'm struggling right now. Or like, I say that I'm good, but I'm not good. Right. I've been conditioned to say that I'm good because if I, you know, I got to keep that up or, you know, it's going to look like there's something wrong with me, but, I'm actually not doing good. So
of course you're not, you got divorced, whether or not that was something you both came to an agreement. You're both not doing good right now, right? That's that you just said it. You said it at the beginning. That was the love of your life, right?
Yeah.
You went separate ways with the love of your life. You're going through shit right now. Of course you're not good, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I work with this. I don't work with her, but like she is a plant operator. You know, Secure and Trevita, like and stuff like that. She works at Secure, and I don't know if she listens or not. But sorry if you do. But she's going through a separation with her husband, right? Yeah. And I'm not going to get into the details of how they got together, but the point is they're not together now. Right. And we were talking, she's like, yeah, it was sort of my choice. And you know, we just drifted apart. And then I asked her, I'm like, how are you doing? She's like, I'm fine. I'm like, no. How are you doing? I'm like, yeah. I know you made the choice to split, but like, how are you? Because you know, like you still had to make this difficult decision with your husband that you have kids. How are you doing? And she's like, thanks for asking that. She's like, I'm not doing good, right? Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't easy, right? I love him and it's, you know, we were still together for all that time. We still had kids, you know, and you still, whatever decision you come to, it's not easy. That weighs on your mind. How long was it weighing on your mind for before the words finally came out,
you know? Yeah, totally. Yeah. My, you know, when I divorced from my ex-wife, it was like a cut. It was like a cut and go, right? Like I made the decision and that was it. And then got into, you know, there was a part of that was, you know, it was easy, right? Because I was angry. She was angry. We'd been fighting a lot. I also made a lot of mistakes. You know, I went outside my marriage and you know, that part in just kind of like cutting the cord, it was like, oh, okay, well, you know, now I can just do that. But there was still a lot of grief and there was a lot of shame and a lot of guilt that came along with that. The fact that, you know, I broke my family apart. You know, my kids I only got to see my kids half the time at least, right? You know, there was anger, resentment. We split up, not only us, but like my parents, her parents, like friends, like all of that stuff. And then going into this new relationship, like I mentioned, with the love of my life and having this love that I dreamt my entire life for, and still, you know, now that we things have shifted and we've chosen to do it this way and go a separate way, sometimes it's like, what the fuck, right? When people ask me how I'm doing, that can be the most difficult question that you'll ever answer ever, because it's like, well, in many ways I'm doing great, right? Physically, I feel good. I know that this choice, as hard as it is the right choice for us, but my fucking heart is like broken and it hurts a lot and I'm grieving and there's loss, and that's the truth too. So it's like, yeah, there's a lot to that question. And you know, when people say good, I ask my kids this as well. I'm like, what does good mean? Like, tell me, like, what does good mean to you? And they're like, well, you know, I kind of struggled on this test at school, and, or this kid, you know, is being kind of a bully and whatever. And I'm like, is that what good means to you? And they're like, well, not really. I'm like, okay. So I'm just looking for an honest answer because I want to know you, where you're at, where your heart's at. And I ask that genuinely with anyone. And that means if we connect in the grocery store and we got to put our, you know, put our baskets down and, you know, sit there and have a conversation for a few minutes or give you a hug or, you know, a high five or whatever, you know, I'm there because I actually care to listen and instead of just like, hear good and move on.
Yeah, no, 100%. I talk about that with Gord all the time, man. Like, you know, the difference between a, you know, just a passing by interaction and like actually like figuring stuff out is in one word or two words, I guess. How are you? I'm good. And you? Right. Yeah. And that, and you could be the difference between, you know, a quick move along or like a let's have a coffee. We need to sit down. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's, man, this podcast has been a lot of fun for that. Right. I'm meeting all kinds of interesting people and having all these amazing conversations that with people that otherwise you just walk by and you don't even know what everyone's going through. Everyone's got a story.
Of course.
Yeah. Nobody thinks they're interesting, right? Nobody thinks they're interesting, right? And then you sit down and talk with them and they're like, yeah, man, this is what I've done. I'm not doing that in my life. That's cool to me. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. And that's the thing, you know, in working with men, in facilitating groups, connecting with people in large, you know, and now that we can do that, connect more in large spaces, is you realize everyone has a story and every single one of them is incredible, but we can all relate because it makes us feel the same way. So it's like, you know, the joy, sadness, anger, pain, suffering, you know, laughter, all of that stuff. We all know what that feels like. Even though our stories are different, we still know what the feelings are like. So we can relate on that level. So when I'm facilitating men's groups, you know, there's 9 guys in our group last week and every single one of them had a story that we can relate to, even though it's completely different than our own.
Yeah. Yeah. That's incredible, man. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, you were blue collar, right? Like, mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Once you're blue collar, you're always blue collar.
Always blue collar, yeah.
And, right? So you're blue collar, right? And we've had a lot of, you know, similar, you know, experiences along the way. You were oil and gas. I was in oil and gas. We've had a lot of similar experiences, mm-hmm. right? Now, you've shifted, you've pivoted, you've done this pivot over here, right? And it's fascinating, right? Like, what is life like for men after they get out of, you know, what they not necessarily wanted to do, but they found themselves having to do to take care of their family and pay the bills. You know what I mean? And now you've gone from that, you evolved, you've leveled up, right? And you've, you know, gone to this place where, you know what, like I found another way to pay my bills and it's helping people. Right. And that's incredible. You don't necessarily have to be on a drilling rig anymore. You don't have to, you know, be a manager or GM anywhere anymore. Right. You're mm-hmm. like, I'm taking care of myself and helping other people take care of themselves.
Yeah. It's one of those things where I just kind of, you know, when I first decided that I wanted to transition into like helping people, being of service, creating like a space for men, being a coach and mentor, leader for, you know, for those that needed a safe space to go and grow. I was asked, is like, who do you want to work with? And I said, I want to work with me. Like from last year, from 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, like I want to go and connect with those versions of me that needed someone like this, that had done and been through the trenches and the deepest, darkest shit and faced themselves and got through to a place where, you know, now they can help support others. And, you know, that was really it. I wanted to be that version that I needed, you know, back through those times in my life. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, the leaders in business or, you know, anywhere, we're all leaders in our own life. But are we actually leading with our hearts and from a place where we can lay our head down at night and be proud of how we showed up? And I wasn't. Yeah. I got to where I'm like, man, I had the, you know, 5-bedroom house, $150,000 vehicle in the driveway, 35-inch lift kit, diesel, you know, everything. I had money in the bank. I could go on the trips. Like, I had everything that was meant to be successful and happy. and joyful, right? The boy
starter kit.
Right, exactly. Like yeah. Married, boy and girl, you know, $200,000 a year. And I'm laying in bed going, why the fuck do I feel so small?
Yeah.
Right? I don't speak up for myself. I can't, I'm afraid to get into conflict. I'm not having any sex with my wife. Anytime I bring anything up, I get shut down. I feel like I'm at least respected at work, but at home, it feels like I can't do anything right. Like what? I don't understand. And that's where things kind of went off the rails. And I know that there's guys out there that can relate to this, and there is a better way, and you don't have to implode your life like I did to have to face it and go through it. And that's for me is like, I want to catch guys before they hit rock bottom. But sometimes we're slow learners and we're fucking stubborn. And I know that's for me too. Is like, sometimes I need to know what that smash off the bottom feels like first before I start making decisions. But that's kind of part of the mission anyways.
Yeah. That smash on the bottom is everything, right? Like, I think the experience, the rite of passage is that smash off the bottom, you know?
True.
We all grow up and we all got to find our own way and what path to take, right? And I see a lot of these people, these young kids coming on TikTok, right? Like bragging about that truck and working all these hours and stuff like that. And like, your rock bottom's coming, bud. Don't you worry. Yeah. It's coming, right? Like, whether you want it to or not, you're going to find it, right? If you keep dinging on the devil's doorbell, one day he's going to answer, right? And when he does, you know, guys like you are here to help out, you know? Like you said, you want to be the person that you know, was, you know, you needed in your life when you were going through that, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm trying to be, too, to the younger guys as well, right? And, you know, I like doing it, you know? I like... You know, that saying, and this is surreal. Like, I'm standing beside myself when it happens. But, you know, it's like there's always that young kid on the job site who's friends with someone 15 years older than him, right? Or 20 years older than him. I've fucking been in this game so long now. I am that guy who's 20 years older. It's like, no way, man. Like, look at the gray. Yeah. Look at the gray.
Totally.
It's man, here I am, you know, all these years later. And, you know, I hear that saying all the time, spend your 20s becoming a monster. So when you get to your 30s, you can learn how to tame it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I feel like I took that the wrong way for a little bit. Right. And then, you know, it wasn't until, you know, a couple of years ago where it's like, that wasn't the monster that they were talking about. Right. That monster is always in me. Right. Yeah. Now, when you unleash that monster, how are you going to unleash it? Is it going to be a good unleashing, right? Doesn't mean you don't have to work hard. Doesn't mean that you don't have to put all your effort or most of your effort into, like, you know, having a good work ethic. It just means, you know, be a good person along the way, you know, be someone that you want your kids to hang around with.
You know? Yeah, no, I agree with that 100%. And it's like, you know, trial and error, right? Figure out what you want and don't want. And if there's something that you don't want, don't keep doing it.
Yeah.
Right. One of the things that I realized is I was really good. The reason I was really good at doing things that I didn't care about doing, and that nobody, like, I was good at doing the things that I didn't want to do that other people didn't want to either. So, you know, that was job security for me. Right. I was not afraid to do anything. Right. And
sort of where I'm at, right? I don't like doing it, but yeah. I do it because it helps pay the bills. I do it because, you know, I'm good at it, right? And it helps pay the bills. And, you know, I put a little pride into it a lot of the time, you know, like, but I don't want to do it, but I'm still putting pride into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want more out of it, you know, and we're getting there, you know what I mean? I started taking interest in trying to drive the back truck this year, you know. Instead of being a swamper, I started learning the shift pattern. I took interest in that finally. It's been 5 years. I took an interest in that. I've asked when we're driving down the lease roads, hey man, mind if I give her a go? Mind if I drive? You coach me from the passenger seat? And they're like, yeah. And, you know, I've stalled out a bunch of times and, you know, I miss gears and stuff like that. But hey, I'm taking that step. I'm going to get my air brakes here soon. And, you know, once the summer's done, I'm on the road crew right now, and I'll be back in the patch in 3 months, 4 months. once the summer's done, I'll go back. I'll get my class three, maybe my one, who knows? And then I'll be making, you know, $15 more an hour, right? And but I gotta ask myself though, at the same time, is that what I want? You know, do I want to drive? Right? I'm happy where I am right now because it affords me. My boss isn't on my ass if I'm going home on days off. Hey, can you stay an extra week? I need you. Right? It's like, you know, there's enough Swampers hanging around. You know, he generally is like, hey, I like you and I love you. And if you can stay, I'll take you. But like, hey, I don't need an abundance of Swampers right now. You can go, right? As for drivers, there's always a shortage. Hey, man, can you stay an extra week? Well, I can't. Sorry, man. And he said to me, he's like, man, your content as a Swamper is good. But like, imagine the cool videos you can make when you drive. And like, you promoting driving and being on my phone. I like it, right?
It's like, hey, are you manipulating me?
Yeah, kind of. It's wild. Yeah, but I gotta ask myself, man, like, do I want to drive, essentially, right? I don't think I'd be a good driver, and I don't want to drive at night. I don't want to drive a back truck at night. I have a hard time driving at night, and I know that'll be a part of it. There's a lot of questions there to ask that need answering, right? Yeah. Before that time comes, right? And am I doing it just to make a few bucks more an hour, or am I doing it because it's truly what I want to do?
It's a good question, brother. And that's, I think, you know, for anyone that's listening, those are the questions that you need to start asking yourself, right? If I don't want to do this, if I'm doing something that I don't want to do, why do I keep doing that? Is it because of the expectation of this is something that I should do, you know, the opinions or the judgments of others, right? Or am I following a trend? Is it fear that's causing me to continue doing this because I'm afraid of what's going to happen if I try something different? Or am I afraid to like step into my own power? You know,
that's probably a big part of it. That's 100% a big part of it, man. You know what I mean? Like, I know I could be good at it. I am good at whatever I want to do, right? Whatever I set my mind to, I'm good at it. I don't like to fail, right? So yeah. Like, if I'm going to do something, I want to be good at it. I want to perfect it, right? And my boss here said that to me too. He's like, you're a utility knife. You know, I can use you in all situations. You know, he threw me in a piece of equipment. I didn't want to fail. Didn't want to let him down. Didn't want to let me down. I jumped in. I'm an equipment operator here now, right? I have been for a few years. And, you know, anything you want me to do, I'll do it, right? I'll learn how to do it. I'll get good on the fly. I'll mess up along the way a couple of times, but like those mess ups will help me not do it again, right? And learn from there. He's like, you're a utility knife. And I'm like, thanks. I appreciate that, you know? And so I will be good at it, but you know, am I afraid that I won't be good at that, right? That's another thing, right? Do I want to jump into something that I don't know if I'll be good at or not? Because that will bring my success rate down, right? And that's a big question to ask too, right?
Yeah. And it's like, what's the importance of your success rate, right? Is like, why is that something that's hanging on to you that's stopping you from doing something that you want to do? And if it's something that you just truly don't want to do, then don't do it. Right. Yeah. But if for me, what I've recognized in myself, if there's any resistance to doing something, that's a path for me to look at. If it's fear, then I'm doing it because that's, you know, I want to teach my kids. I want to, I just turned 45 at the beginning of May and I'm like, fuck, man, I'm tired of being afraid of stuff. Right. Yeah, but fear is. Yeah, fear's a real thing, right? Yeah, half over, yeah. And it's on the downhill trend, right? But you know, why not live the last 45 years or 40 years the best years ever, and you know, go into the final resting place, going, hey, I tried it all, at least as much as I could get my fucking hands on, anyways.
Go there with a smile on your face.
That's right. Yeah.
Deathbed just smiling. What are you smiling for? You got the cancer. No. I lived a good life, you know, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's,
yeah. I was going to ask you about, backtrack a little bit. You said you went pro with golf.
Yeah, I was a golf pro for 7 years. I what's that?
PGA?
I was on the, it was in the Canadian PGA. So it was more, I worked at golf courses, taught lessons. I played in some small tours around the Central Okanagan, qualified for Team BC 1 year and went to Niagara Falls and played in the Canadian Assistance Championship, which was pretty cool. Got to play with a couple guys that did play on the PGA Tour. One was on my team. And yeah, it was pretty incredible experience. I got to play with lots of NHL guys. Robert Redford came and played at the golf course that I worked at the one time. So that was pretty cool to see him. And yeah, really good lifestyle, but it's a tough space to make some money. So that's where I went back into oil and gas.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's pretty amazing, man. That's wild, dude. That's what I mean. Like, you know, who would have known walking by you? I would never have known, hey, man, this guy played golf with Robert Redford and like some NHL players, you know, like that's mind blowing.
Yeah, totally. One of my favorite stories is I got invited to the Kamloops Blazers alumni golf tournament and got to play with the owner of the Dallas Stars.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he owns the Dallas Stars, the Blazers, all the Sandman hotels. Look him up. You'll know who I'm talking about. But
oh, yeah.
He was playing. We were playing. It was our team. My boss is his best. My old boss was his best friend. And we put up $20 each. And I mean, I Googled this guy at the beginning of the round and he was worth $3.9 billion at the time. And he's playing for $20. Like it's the last dollar that he has and was just like chirping back and forth. But yeah, it was a lot of fun, man. We had some drinks and yeah, it was really good.
Fun fact, I used to work at the Sandman in Saskatoon.
Oh, no kidding.
When I first moved out west here, well, not when I first moved to Saskatoon, because I went Ontario, BC, Saskatoon, and then, you know, Banff, Edmonton, Calgary, back to Edmonton. I don't want to move anymore. We're too old for that. But I started off when I was, 20? Maybe 1920 at the Sandman Hotel as a maintenance guy. They wanted my wife. They didn't want me, right? But like we were a package deal, sort of, I suppose. So brought me on as a maintenance guy, and I had to go in and flip mattresses every now and then when they had to be turned. And I was a horrible human being when I was there. Like I would go in, I'd flip mattresses, and I'd lay down on the mattress for a bit and just hang out there and be like, turn on the TV maybe. There were times where, you know, maybe I'd take the tip sitting on the table, right? I was 20. I was a menace, right? I was just a menace. horrible. And I'd go and I'd pretend to mop the floors and stuff like that just to stay busy. My wife quit there, and after she quit, they started treating me like shit. So, you know, I was like, whatever. Hey, you treat me how you want to treat me. I'm here, and I'm doing great. I don't want anything better than this. And then how did that happen? Why did I leave? I don't even remember why I left. Maybe I found something better. I don't know, man. That was fucking almost 20 years ago. That was 15 years ago, 16 no years kidding. Ago. Dang, man.
You were doing all the things that we think about doing when you walk by the tip on the restaurant table or, yeah. You know, something like that. It's like, would anyone know if I just took that or whatever? But, you know, someone's always watching.
Bucks, right? It was only like $2 or $3, you know, to them, the people that leaving, it was $2 or $3. To the maids that were actually getting it, it was everything, right? They were doing all the hard work, and I was taking that from them. That was horrible.
Totally. Right?
And yeah, it was horrible. Absolutely horrible. What a menace. I don't even remember why I stopped working there. I'm drawing a blank on that. Like, I don't even know where I went after that. But yeah, whatever. That was I remember having to walk to work every day because I didn't have a car. And I lived fairly close. It took me like 20 minutes or whatever to get there. But in Saskatchewan, it was one of the coldest winters they had ever seen in a long time. It's like minus 50 every day for like a month in November. It's wild. And I was walking down the sidewalk, tripping over extension cords, being like, what the hell are all these extension cords doing outside, right? I don't get it. Little did I know, I'd soon find out, you know, Saskatchewan, Alberta, very, very cold. You need to plug your car in.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah, it's pretty chilly there. I remember I partied one weekend in Saskatoon. There's a place called The Pat.
Oh, I remember the Patricia Hotel. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Long Branch. Was Riley's a thing when you were there?
I was only there. I dated a girl from Saskatchewan for like 8 months, and I went to visit her a couple of times. I went, I met her at, she was on Team Saskatchewan for curling, and I was on Team Alberta way back when in juniors. So yeah, it's
a curler too. Look at you go.
Yeah. The true Canadian sport.
The Canada's true national sport. I think it's lacrosse or curling. I think it's
lacrosse. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, hockey, Canada's game. No. It's lacrosse is Canada's game.
That's, you know, right. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's all about lacrosse. My cousin used to play lacrosse. I got his actual lacrosse, like, authentic Topps card. It was peewee. I don't know if that's what they call it, but whatever. Yeah.
Right.
Hey, man, I was going to ask you, do you know what viscosity is?
Viscosity? I mean, the word itself I do, but if it's a brand or something like that.
Yeah, the word. What's viscosity in your own words?
Viscosity, geez. I'm like the least mechanical guy that there is, but the viscosity is, it's got something to do with like oil and how it's, you know, how it's burnt in the engine is what I'm going to say.
Okay. So the mud, the podcast is sponsored by the Mudman, who deals in viscosity. You know, the thickness of the load going downhole, you know, the mud they're using. If it's too thick, they got to make it a little less viscous. If it's too thin, they got to make it more viscous. So the podcast is sponsored by the Mudman, who's taking all the guesswork out of that whole game. You know, they used to just measure it, and now, you know, it's very digital and it's simplified. It's very easy. And the Mudman's helped in that. And he sponsors awesome. A podcast, you know, he deals in the thickness of your load. And if I don't know, you're 45 years old, I'm 10 years younger than you. I'm a man in my mid 30s, you know. There's no better time to be a man if you ask men in their mid-30s. Their load is the thickest it'll ever be, right? And not because of the Mudman. The Mudman ain't making that load thick, but like, oh my God.
No need to control the thickness of it going down hole at 35.
No need to control the thickness of the load going down that hole anyways. It's, you know, and I make it even more so by drinking zinc and magnesium, man. It makes it even better. You should try that if you're 45 and you're having a hard time, you know, with the thickness of it all. Try some zinc and magnesium. But yeah, no, the podcast is sponsored by the Mudman. www.mudmarket.com for all your drilling fluid and laboratory testing equipment needs.
Awesome.
Yeah, man. No, guy's been super stellar with the podcast and sponsoring it and whatnot. Usually I got the mic and the headphones. And he's helped with all that. He made the sound quality better and just overall brought the quality of the podcast to where it is compared to where it came from. And we're working together and it's been a good time. So
that's good, man. And you know what? It's aligned partnerships and connections and community, which is what's going to, you know, it creates a better world in general. But you know, like, you know, you just doing what you do, even just having fun with what you do with your videos and the posts that you make, and you know, that brings people joy. And that's what we've lost so much as we, especially when you get into adulthood. It's like, when I ask guys, like, what do you do for fun? They're like, I work. Well, yeah. Who do you hang out with? It's like, I don't hang out with anyone. I just hang out with my work people, or you know, I don't actually have any friends. And I'm like, isn't that sad? When we're kids, we have the most fun, we're most authentic, you know, everything is just like so expressive, and you have these friends and it's just like so connected, and we lose that along the way. And it's one of the basic needs that we have is connection with other people. So, you know, you doing that and what you do is, it's pretty awesome to see.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. I have a theory, and it's not really a theory. It's something I've noticed about why it's so hard to maintain and keep friendships alive when you're in your adulthood, right? When you're 30 and 40 and 50. So when you're kids, right, it comes so naturally, so easy. There's nothing else but you and your friends, right? Like there's nothing in between that. You're just friends. It just is, right? As you get older, you're adults, you meet new people. You're like, I like this guy, right? You hang out, you start talking. You want to introduce him to your wife. You want to introduce his family to your family, right? Now it's more than just you two. Now you two have to get along. now your kids have to mesh well and your partners have to mesh well and you and their partner have to mesh well and vice versa, right? And that's a lot of moving parts, mm-hmm. right? That is a lot of moving parts. I've had a couple friends, I don't know if you could call them friends-ish, acquaintances, I guess, that we've had to go, you know, we were good, right? Then, you know, we got together, we got our families together, and it was like, oh, our kids didn't mesh. Our wives didn't mesh, right? And then it was like, well, man, hey, we got to hang out again sometime. And then, like, yeah, and then, you know, you go to make plans. Hey, babe, you want to go? Not really. And then he asks, hey, babe, do you want to go? Nah, not really. Hey, man, I got a thing tonight. I can't. Sorry, right? And that's hard. That's hard. As you get into adulthood, you're making those kind of friendships based off of more than just what you two want, right? Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and it's really good. I actually have my boss, his cousin's husband works here. And his son work here, right? And then their other, I guess, uncle works here. And, like, we've all become really good friends. We hang out outside of work, right? Oh, my family gets along well with his family, which is the one guy, and his son and I, which is the younger guy that I was talking about, you know, like, trying to mentor a little bit. His son, he has two little brothers, which are in my daughter's, well, they go to the same school as my daughter. And they're one and two grades ahead. And because our families are so tight, you know, my daughter started a new school this school year with them. And he said to his brother, he's like, hey, I want you to watch out for her this year, right? Like, you gotta, that's a good family friend. You know, you gotta have her back. And anything that happens at that school, like, he jumps in. He's like, hey, if you wanna mess with her, you gotta mess with me first, right? And man, this kid, man, I'm telling you, like, they've been really good friends. They hang out a lot. They just went and had, like, a little outing together at the Science Center. And yeah, my wife took the kids, all four of them, by herself to the Science Center. And yeah, it's really good, man. It's been a really good relationship. And, you know, it's good when everything works out that way, right?
Yeah. And, you know, it's, you know, special to have that, right? And, you know, that's something that she'll probably cherish. You know, she'll remember that in her life. But, you know, like you spoke to as well, there's parts of relationships, you know, you may have your couple friends and the ones that connect with the families. It's also important to have those connections outside of work or outside of your relationship, because if it's all connected to the relationship, you know, it can get really easy to just dump on each other and have, like, that same stuff happening over and over again. Whereas when you have your bros to connect with, but in an authentic way, like, not just, you know, going out to the bar or going out golfing or, you know, drinking and playing hockey, like, things like that, which are amazing things. I still play hockey and, you know, go out for beers with the guys once in a while too, but having that core group that's outside of your relationship and outside of your family so that you can get that, you know, that connection and brotherhood, or, you know, even a men's group too, that you can go and just have real open, honest conversations with men that are going through stuff too, the same things as you. It's important to have that so you can alleviate some of the stress, let go, you know, decompress a little bit and come back in a better space.
Damn. Yep. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. If anybody is listening to this and they decide, like, hey, I want to hear more from this guy, do you have a website or where can they find you on the socials as well? Like,
yeah, they can find me at, it's at Kevin_HeartWarrior on Instagram. And then I am Kevin McNee. It's McNee on Facebook, and then Kevin McNee on LinkedIn as well. So it's, most of my stuff is done on social media. And my website is under construction right now, so that'll be up here soon. And yeah, that's where you'll find me. I'm on Instagram and Facebook mostly.
Awesome, man. How did you get the name Heart Warrior? Like, why was it Heart Warrior, not like Kevin McNee Coaching or Blue Collar Coaching or Kevin McNee Mental Health Help? You know, why Heart Warrior?
That's a good one, man. I thought about all of those too. So I actually started my business and it's called Kevin McNee Coaching and Leadership. And that's what the name is, and which is, like, super original and, you know, like, completely out there. But no, it's, I did what's called an Akashic record reading. And for those that don't know, Akashic records is like it's a spiritual practice where you open up the Akashic records, and what they are is like the blueprints of all lives and all lives past. It's got like your spirit guides, your ancestors, your angels, and stuff like that, if you believe in that. So I did a reading with my partner, and she had this message come through, and she's like, "Kevin, you're like a warrior of the heart." And I was just like, wow, that really landed for me. And I'm like, that feels like a good brand for me, because one of the things that I felt like was, as what I do for with men and for myself too, is, you know, we have this armor around our heart. And what a warrior does is the warrior of the heart breaks down the armor and gets to that authentic version of ourselves and opens up and leads from that heart-centered space. So that's kind of how that showed up for me. And the heart warriors, it was the men's group that I started. I was like, you know, the heart warriors just kind of aligned with that. We went back to the house, and she pulled, if you've heard of oracle cards or an angel card, she opened their deck and pulled out an angel card. And the very card that she pulled was the warrior of the heart.
Wow.
Yeah. It was like, again, coincidence, whatever, but you know, these are all signs for me that was like, huh, you know, there's something to that. So I branded myself the warrior of the heart, and the heart warriors is the men's group. So that's kind of how that all came about.
Got a way better answer than I ever thought it would have been. You know, I thought that's cool, you know? So I was like, no, that's pretty cool, man. That's actually really neat.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Hell yeah, man. Where do you see, do you have a 5-year plan for where you see this going, or are you kind of just, you know, taking each day and each moment as it comes? Are you just embracing it, you know, the way that it comes at you, or you got a plan?
Yeah, I mean, my plan is to continue to grow, you know, starting with myself and leading from that space. And one of the things that I tell everyone, and even like if you watch any of the videos or the content that I make, I only speak to the things that I do myself. So it's a trial and error thing for me, and I won't take anyone where I've never been yet. I have a men's group on Facebook. It's a private men's group. It's got now almost 300 guys in it, and we connect every week, every Tuesday night. So actually tonight, I'm not sure when this will air, but you know, every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock Alberta time, we gather online on Zoom, and it's our mastermind where we're there supporting each other, building each other up. It's guys that really want to move the needle in their life, and they're tired of doing the same old thing and living the same old life, and really want to level up. And they're doing it in a community of guys that are there doing that work together. And it's incredible. And that group, I'm just in the process of transitioning that into something that's going to be even greater, where it's going to have more people, more coaches, more leaders that are going to be able to provide and be of service. And those guys and men from all over the world are going to be able to, you know, receive the support they need exactly when they need it, and have multiple offerings. So that's, yeah, that's what my plan is with the group. And then for myself, I have a men's relationship program that's starting up here on Saturday. And then I do one-on-one coaching as well, which is really like high level, really getting guys through to the next level. And it goes in 3, 6, and 12 months. Increments. So yeah, it's pretty powerful.
Nice. Yeah, the podcast drops every Tuesday, so if you're listening to this, it drops Tuesday at 5 o'clock p.m. if you're listening to this when it drops, or shortly after it drops, you know, it's Tuesday. What are you waiting on, right? Like,
yeah,
get go. The podcast will always be here, and is live. You do it live, right? You live stream it, or
yeah, it's live on Zoom. Yep.
The podcast will still be here. You know, it's not going anywhere. If you listen to this, go listen to the Zoom. Go find it on Facebook. Go listen to it. Go if that's something that interests you, go check it out. You want to support anything that Kevin does, go join it. It's, you know, as simple as that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And we had 9 guys last week, and they were from all over North America. And yeah, guys really just... like you said too, everyone has a story, and they have their own medicine that comes from them. So when guys show up and they start sharing, just open up and share, man, everybody receives the medicine from that. And it's incredible. And there's just nothing like it.
Yeah, man. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is amazing. What time does that start at?
Starts at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. So, hey, drops at 5. You could listen to this podcast and then go, you know,
totally.
You could drop the podcast and go sit in the Zoom call in the queue while it waits, or you can listen to the podcast and then go. Do whatever you want to do. You know, do whatever, follow your heart, you know?
That's right. Exactly.
That's incredible, man. I like that. I like what you're doing for men and people in general, you know, like, but men, you know, we've come a long way, but we've got a long way to go. Right. And, you know, it many hands make light work. Right. So, you know, the more of us there are doing this and coming together and the more leaders we have at the top of that mountain or the pillars, maybe even the pillars holding up that mountain, you know, the better off we're going to be, the faster we'll get there, the better off we're going to be. So.
Yeah, man. One of the most powerful things that I see too, and I mean, this year a testament to that is when you start doing that work on yourself, you really see, you can start seeing a lot clearer and things are a lot brighter and they, you know, they smell and they sound better. But the thing that I see too is the first thing that men do when they start to take care of themselves is they reach their hand out to help someone else. And it's the most incredible thing that I see in doing this work. And yeah, if you're listening to this, you know, join a group, talk to a bro, just, you know, do something to open yourself up, because when you do, it's incredible things can happen. And, you know, you might not even see it right now.
That's awesome, brother. I love that. Yeah. I don't want to keep it too much longer. So usually we end the podcast by asking one last question. You know, and so Mount Rushmore has 4 of the most influential people on the rock, right? You know, if you could have your own Mount Rushmore, 4 people you look up to, inspire to be, or that you inspire to be, or that inspire you, who would they be and why?
So four of them?
Yeah. Who would be your founding fathers? Who would be, like, you know, the people that, you know, have paved the way for you, that you look up to, that, you know, what drives Kevin to be like this?
Yeah. Oh, that's good. There's a few guys that come to mind. I don't know if you've heard of Aubrey Marcus. His podcast is a really powerful one. He's just super open. I think he's right around my age, but, you know, something that I really admire him currently. I'm going to go with some that are just showing up in mind right now. Peter Krohn, there's a guy named Peter Krohn who's just an incredible leader in the healing world. He works with baseball teams, high level sports, whatever. You know, one that's coming up for me, man, I'm going to say, like, Gene Simmons from Kiss. Hey, I'm
oh, yeah. Yeah.
What's Kiss that? Army.
The Kiss Army.
Man, I'm 100%. Part of the Kiss Army, and they're one of my favorite bands of all time. So, you know, I definitely would love to hear some of his stories and the wisdom that he's got to share.
Why do you look up to Gene? Like, what makes you put Gene up there? What inspires you about him?
You know, the thing about Kiss and their band, they've got the iconic makeup, the look, they showed up with this no give a fuck attitude where they were just going to be their own people. You know, they went through, they weren't partiers, they weren't drinkers. You know, they did it their own way, and they led, you know, with authenticity. And I'm sure that they had nothing but, you know, feedback and people trying to pull them down with, like, you know, like the crabs in the bucket scenario, right? Trying, you know, you're trying to get out and the crabs just keep pulling you back in. You know, it's just, whether it's him, I love Paul Stanley too. So I would say, you know, those guys. But yeah, Kiss has always been a favorite of mine. That fourth one, that's a tough one. You know, I'm gonna say Elvis. I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth behind his story. And yeah, listen to that.
Elvis didn't die. He went home.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, Elvis didn't die. did you know the story behind the whole coffin thing, right? How the coffin was light and they opened it and nothing was in there?
Oh, interesting. No, I didn't know that.
They exhumed his coffin. And when they looked in the coffin, there was nothing in there.
Oh, right? No kidding.
I had a music teacher in grade 7, Mr. Popek. Shout out to Mr. Popek. You know, he could have just went on to do, you know, teach the music and get us to play the recorder or the guitar and whatnot. But the guy gave us a breakdown on the history of rock and roll, right? And we covered the Beatles, we covered the Beach Boys, we covered Elvis, and I think that was it. But he gave me a private lesson on Weird Al. So that was like he had all the albums. I borrowed them all. I still have one all these years later. Sorry, Mr. Popek. I think he died, so like he's not really missing it. But he gave us on the breakdown on Elvis, and you know, someone took a picture at Graceland one time of someone in the window. They took a picture and it looked like Elvis hanging out in the window. Mm. Right. And that part of Graceland was closed off to visitors. No one was allowed in there.
Oh, no kidding.
Why was Graceland blocked off in certain parts? Right. And is the conspiracy about Elvis true? Is he really dead or did he just want to move away from the spotlight? Was he done with that whole life? Because the guy couldn't go anywhere, right?
Yeah. You know, and I mean, you think about like him and Princess Diana and, you know, like a lot of these famous people that couldn't go anywhere and do anything, you know, are they just on another timeline, right?
Man, Princess Diana, if she's not dead, that sure caused a lot of grief in people's life. Like, look at, what was her boyfriend's name there? Her fiance's name?
Dodi Al-Fayed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, his dad is still reeling about it. Still very mad at the Royals. Still very mad at the. I think there was a recent lawsuit, right? Mm. Joey Lafayette's dad, I can't remember his name, but yeah, man, like there's a lot of stuff there behind the scenes that like, if that's not actually true, it's causing heartache in a lot of people's lives, right?
And oh, no kidding, no kidding.
Yeah, pretty wild. But the Elvis thing. Man, that's a tough one. He had a twin brother, right, who died when he was younger. I don't know if you knew that about Elvis.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, he had a twin brother, Aaron. That's why I don't think his name was actually Elvis Aaron Presley. I don't think his middle name was actually Aaron. I think Aaron was the name of his twin. Oh, right? Good. So Elvis and Aaron, and Aaron died years prior, right? So they were thinking that, you know, maybe, you know, so I think it was the bones. They exhumed it a couple times, and there were bones in it one of the times, but not the first time. And they wanted to study the bones the second time, and people think it's Aaron's bones. So yeah.
They added the bones so that when the second time they dug it up, it wouldn't be so suspicious.
Yeah, and here we are all these years later, like, no one really pays attention to history that much. The internet wasn't really around back then, right? Or wasn't around at all. So, you know, like, they couldn't really be a topic of conversation, right? Like, that thousands of people or millions of people across the world on the interweb are all of a sudden armchair experts at everything, right? So, you know, they'd have all these conspiracy theory groups if this was in the time of the internet. So,
no, totally.
Yeah. And with KISS, KISS was my very first concert I ever went to. 1999, 2000 in Toronto. It was their very first farewell tour. Right?
Yeah.
I was fucking 10 or 11 at the time. 11 maybe. Yeah, my dad got his tickets on the floor. And I was 5 feet away from Gene Simmons. We were on the floor and he ziplined out onto the little stage that I was standing right next to on the floor. And he was, you know, throwing guitar picks, and I caught a bunch, and I got I got a bunch of guitar picks, man. And what a wild time that was, you know.
No kidding.
11 years old, going to a KISS concert with my dad, right? And I was like, yeah, fucking KISS Army, right? I was all about that life. And I went to see KISS, Trooper. My dad took me to all kinds of them. Kim Mitchell, who's the blind guy again? Dead now.
Jeff Healy.
Jeff Healy. Kim Mitchell, Trooper. I got Trooper signed drumsticks for me. I saw them at the hot dog stand after the show. They were getting hot dogs. My dad's like, "You hungry?" And I'm like, "Yep." Right. So we went to the, that's we hilarious. Went to the hot dog stand. They signed a drumstick for me. And yeah, man, who else? Oh, Rush. I saw them much.
Oh, man, that would have been great.
Yeah. Before Neil Peart died anyways. And it was a few years ago now, but like they were long past their prime, right? They were a very boring stage show. They're old, right? So like,
yeah,
like just standing there, like looking around, they're not dancing. They're just playing their guitar and singing. Right. And that was pretty neat. Yeah.
One thing about Kiss though, they're not boring, right? Like I went to their Alive 35 tour. It was one of their final tours. And I was like, man, I'm paying the money. I flew down to Vancouver. It was like a $2,000 trip. And I was like, I'm sitting front row. Well, I was third row. And this is the last time I'm going to ever get to see them, right? So I went and saw them. It was incredible. The show was incredible. I went back home. I was like riding high for a while. A few months later, they're coming to Dawson Creek.
Oh, shit.
They came to Dawson Creek and I live 45 minutes away. I'm like, I'm going again.
So how much was that one?
It was like $100.
Oh, that's not bad. Concerts these days are so expensive, man. Yeah. I had the chance to go see the Tragically Hip's final tour in Edmonton. Oh, it was the same day that Simple Plan was playing at K-Days. And I went to see Simple Plan. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I really kicked myself for it. I waited 15 years to see Simple Plan and it was happening, right? I was more of a Simple Plan fan than I'm a Tragically Hip fan. But now, as I get a little older, I'm appreciating what the Hip did a lot more, right? I'm more into their music, you know? I'm like, yeah, that's bad. I don't know if I'm getting old or what. Simple Plan is like, reminds me of when my knees didn't hurt, my back wasn't so, right. You know, and Tragically Hip is just like, right, like
yeah, they were for me they were the high school, right? It was that's who I listened to in high school. And Gord, I mean Gord has a special connection to, you know, Tragically Hip too, which sure is pretty does. Cool.
Shout out to Paul Langlois.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, you still listen to Gord? Do you listen to Gord's podcast a lot?
I do. Yeah, I mean depends on a lot. I'll download a few of them. Like he's had some pretty cool guests on there, you know, Gene Principe and
twice.
That's where I met Gord, was on the podcast, and I just reached out to him. He posted an Instagram post and I reached out. I said, hey, if you're looking for guests and whatever, and then went on his podcast and he was like, I don't feel like we're done with this podcast. And I ended up doing some coaching with him, and yeah, he's just an incredible dude, and he's on a journey of which is pretty special too.
Yeah, he is, man. You know, like anytime I need help with the podcast, I call Gord. He's been there, right? He's been around longer than I have. He's into the editing thing, and I don't edit the podcast, right? But today's episode that came out needed an edit. So a couple months ago, I asked him how I do this, and he changed my life, right, with the editing thing. And so I use that, but my computer's slow. Last night, I edited last minute. That's stupid me. And I did a big edit and then I saved it and it wouldn't upload because the file was too big. And it was like 8 o'clock at night. And I'm like, this might be too late, but I sent him the text and then he calls me right away. And I didn't see his call. I went to the bathroom or whatever. And then I got back, I called him and he's like, yeah, man, you got to do it like this and export it like this. I did that. And I put it in there and it uploaded. Thank you. Thank you, Gord. Shout out to Gord, man. I love that guy's podcast. If he ever decides that's the end of his podcast, I will go to his house and I will tie him to chairs and I will torture him until he decides I am coming back with this.
it's a cool premise too. I love the kind of the whole, you know, the theme behind it, and you know, the fact that he's got his son Liam as a part of it too. What a gift for both of those guys too.
I talked to Liam yesterday on the phone when I was talking to Gord, and it was cool to hear Liam's voice right there, right? Because I said to him, I'm like, man, one thing that I love about this podcast is like I watched you go from a boy to like a man, because like your voice was so like a child to going through puberty and like that squeak to it, right? It's like, oh, yeah, you know, like we're on the podcast. and shout out to the Blackfoot Nation and stuff, right? And it's getting and I'm like, man, like this boy, man, he's growing up in front of our eyes, and it's amazing. And I talked to Liam. I'm like, man, I love what you do with your dad, and I can't wait till my kids, one of my daughters is getting there. I can't wait till they're a little bit older and they're into that, and I can convince them to, hey, do an intro with me for my podcast, and I can pre-record something and throw it out there, right? And I'm looking forward to that and turning it into a family thing. And you know, because my content's gone that way a little bit, my daughters are getting very good at lip syncing, so like I make a little bit of videos with them, I throw them out there, and we might have to try it a couple times. And if I can't get my youngest to do it on the first or second try, she loses interest, right? So I'm like, okay, I've learned with her that, like, all right, she's gonna have a delay, so before, as it's counting down, if as soon as it gets to one, I'm like, say it now. And she says it now, and it matches up. I've learned how to match it up with her, and like,
oh, perfect.
It's great. And oh yeah, and my oldest, she loves it. She loves being a part of it. She's like, can we watch your videos today, Dad? And more specifically, can we watch the ones that I'm in, right? And
yeah, she doesn't give a shit about yours.
No, it's great.
That's awesome.
Great. Yeah, man. Man, thanks for coming on, man. You know, we finally made it work. We made it happen. I had a lot of fun, and I appreciate the hell out of anyone that comes on this journey with me, right? Because I'm having a lot of fun with it. We're taking it to new levels here. It's growing. We got a couple more sponsors coming on. It's a lot of fun.
Good for you, man.
I don't want to kind of turn it into something that's monetized too much, because you know, then it becomes a job, and I don't want it to become a job. I want it to be still a fun hobby, but at some point it's time to shit or get off the pod, right? So we're doing that, and it's been a lot of fun, and it's only getting better. And you know, with people like you coming on and sharing your story and you know, your journey and what you're doing for society, civilization, if you want to call it that, it's incredible, man. And I thank you for it. So,
well, I appreciate you. And thanks for having me on here and reaching out to do this, because it definitely means a lot. And, you know, you're doing some great things out there too. And, you know, you're having fun, but you're doing it with an open heart, and, you know, people feel that. So that's much appreciated as well.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Thanks for coming on, and Kevin, stay frosty.
Thanks, brother.
Like
Air Bandit.
Yeah, you can't start.